This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our Wednesday edition of Invest Talk, August 27th. I can't believe it's August 27th already. We're available over several different outlets on radio up and down California, live online streaming on investtalk.com. And we especially thank our podcast subscribers. We just passed 3 million of them in downloads. That's quite a bit. Yeah, it was surprises me. Our free subscribers are all over the world, from Tokyo, Toronto, Alabama, Amsterdam, everywhere. And we thank you for your interest and for listening. I appreciate it. One of our jobs on Invest Talk is to nudge you from time to time about something you might not want to pay attention to. And it's an item that often gets overlooked when you're managing your investments, and that is taxes. I know, I hate that word, taxes. I know. Now, depending on your situation, taxes can go from being pretty simple to nearly impossible to figure out. And there comes time when there's nothing more valuable than a good accountant. You're going to need it at some point, probably. But, you know, if you can figure it out yourself, that's okay. The IRA and 401k programs have provided a powerful incentive to save and invest because you can enjoy tax-free events, capital gains, capital losses, none of that is taxed in those kind of accounts. Don't have to worry about that. You can do whatever you want. You can be as active or non-active all you want. And of course, if you want to be really active, you might want to consider a Roth IRA. You know, you can do that if you want. What's the difference between a regular IRA, a Roth IRA, a regular 401k, and a Roth 401k? Well, if you don't, you need to really understand how those works. Basically, a Roth, after all the gains over the years, when you start taking it out, there's no taxes ever owed. But you do pay income tax on the money you put in to a Roth. In a regular IRA or 401k, you do not pay taxes on the contributions you put in, but all the growth and all the money you take out when you retire, you have to pay taxes on it. And you have to start taking it out when you're 70 and a half. You have to, because Uncle Sam wants its money. Now, let's get to the complicated part. With investments you hold on brokerage accounts, you got capital gains taxes, long-term, short-term capital gains. They're taxed differently, so you have to understand what you have. You can offset long-term with the gains with long-term losses and short-term gains or short-term losses, and so you got to kind of understand what you're doing there. And if you sell something that has a really good gain, you got to think about the tax consequences of that sale. Are you going to realize a profit and then pay taxes, and you might have been better off not realizing the profit? Or maybe you can do something else. Maybe you still want to hold on to something. You don't want to realize a profit. Maybe you can offset it with going the opposite way with something else. In other words, you can hedge because you feel like it's going to go down in the short term or even the long term. You can hedge as long as you want or short as you want. There's things you can do. Not fun, not easy, but you got to think about it. And end of the year is a time. We're coming up. September's on our way. Then we'll be October, November. I realize the time goes by so fast. So start paying attention. So if you want to talk about tax laws, the tax situation, I am not an expert. That's why you use accountants. So if you're not a pro, get a pro. Do you have a tax story for yourself to tell me? You want to talk about it? As long as it's not too boring, I'd love to hear it. Or any topic concerning any money managers, you can call right now. But let's go ahead and get to our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
My name is Arun. I'm calling from King of Prussia. I had a question. What exactly is the difference between a mutual fund and an ETF? I keep hearing a lot of things about ETF. And is that a good investment for a novice investor? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
King of Prussia is in Pennsylvania, by the way, for those people who don't know. King of Prussia, that's where he's from. What's the difference between a mutual fund and an ETF? ETF is called an exchange-traded fund. Couple of little differences. Okay, most mutual funds are managed by a manager. Almost all, if not all, ETFs are not managed by somebody. But there are a lot of mutual funds that track indexes, and ETFs also track indexes. One of the major things is a mutual fund, you buy and sell at the end of the day, or whatever the net asset value is at the end of the day. Whereas the ETF, you can buy and sell during the day like a stock, going up and down, up and down. So now that they have so many ETFs, you can get instant diversification using them. And you don't, usually ETFs are much cheaper than mutual funds. Well, one reason is because there's no manager. It following an index, a sector, a commodity, a currency. The ETFs trade a specific set. But you can have an ETF for the S&P 500. It's been around for many, 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 many years. SPY is the symbol. The NASDAQ 100 is QQQ, and the Dow 30 is DIA. But you also have, so you can follow those indexes, those major indexes using ETFs. You can also do it using a mutual fund. And if you ask me which one's better, I would probably say the ETF at this point. It's cheaper, generally speaking. Not always cheaper, but most of the time it is. 888-992-4278. Sometimes we forget that you need to teach our children about planning and budgeting. So how do you create a savings and spending plan? Notice I'm not using a word called budget. I don't, you know, that word is kind of, how about a savings and spending plan for your children? Teaching them how to save and spend. Isn't that part of your job as a parent or even as a grandparent? If your parents, your children won't do it, maybe you should do it as a grandparent. Opening your child's first bank account. That's one of our main talking points today. Also, let's talk about the stock market rising to the end of the year for the next 6 months. And I'm going to be quoting a Sam Eisenstadt. Do you know who he is? You probably don't, but he's been around a long time. And he's saying within 6 months, the market's going to go up another 8%. Big banks, big profits. Big banks, big profits if interest rates rise. The banks are gearing up for a rise in interest rates. And will they benefit? And we want to talk about that. And two experts call for a 60% correction. 6-0. I wouldn't call that a correction. I'd call that a market collapse. They call it a correction. So I want to talk about someone saying the market is very positive. Who has been Sam Eisenstadt has been very good at determining where the market's going to go in the next 6 months. And then you got two other experts saying it's going to fall. Now, the two other experts are not giving you a time frame where Sam is. Sam is predicting an up market for the next 6 months. Well, how is he? You know, we're going to talk about how he figures that. And why do these experts think it's going to fall? Interesting, huh? You're getting both sides. I don't want to be too negative or too positive on the market. I want to give you both sides. And I'll tell you this, and I've said this a zillion times. Experts are always wrong. And I don't exclude myself. Not excluding myself. It's just how wrong, how much, when they're wrong, and you know, why they were wrong, those kinds of things. I don't also like to call myself an expert. I am an expert in investments, but I'm not an expert in trying to time the market because I don't think anybody can time the market. Yeah, it's very, very difficult. What you can do is protect yourself against a fall, but don't try to time the market. Okay, what happened to the market today? It was pretty much flat. The Dow was up 15. The NASDAQ was, down 1, I think it was. And the S&P was 0. Nothing. Pretty much flat. And it looks like the momentum is starting to ease of this pop-up from a correction. And it popped up from a correction for the last, 2 weeks? And it looks like that momentum is easing. And what's next for the market? Here we are, end of August, moving into September. We're coming to the end of the summertime. So we had a tiny little correction, very much like the previous two tiny little corrections that we've had in the last 12 months. and the market just recovered. That's the way it is. We have a new addition to the program, and that's our InvestTalk Twitter opinion poll. We'll ask you a question, and you can send your response to our Twitter account. Or if you have a question, send that along too. You can do that on Twitter or call the show here. Today's InvestTalk poll: do you feel you are in control of your investing strategy, or is the institution or brokerage house or mutual fund in control? Or even your 401k manager, do you have a handle of your investing strategy? Do you know what you're doing? You don't even have to know what investment you're in, but do you have a strategy? It's kind of important. Do you have the last word on this strategy? I'd love to read your answers. So send it to Twitter now, send it via Twitter to investtalk.com. That's with two T's, InvestTalk, InvestTalk. That's the Twitter account. You can tweet your question to me or call 888-99-CHART.
As InvestTalk continues now, here are some of the resources available to our InvestTalk insiders, and we encourage you to join. The New America is a recorded webinar about the growing strengths in U.S. manufacturing. You can access it anytime if you choose. Become an insider by signing up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Daniel in Mountain View. How are you doing, Daniel?
Hi, pretty good, Steve. Just had a generic question. Just wondered if you would be taking some profits this week, given how high everything is, and also given that for some reason after holidays, markets sometimes or often can take a dip.
Yeah, the reason why is investors and traders don't like this to last over a long weekend. They like to get out beforehand because, you know, what might happen in the news could just open up sharply down on Monday, you know, or Tuesday, the next trading day. So many times they like to get out on Friday or even Thursday now. I see it's moving even earlier. And that's not uncommon. But I don't know if it's, Daniel, it's something you can rely on. You know, you can like, oh, I'm going to sell early because I know that's going to happen. It's very difficult to rely on that. It really is.
Gotcha. Okay. In general.
In general, yeah. It's just... Yeah, you know, it's more reliable what happens in Christmas and Thanksgiving week, because it's kind of consistent because of the end of the year, what they do, tax loss selling for the end of the year, gone for Christmas and New Year's holidays. So it's a little bit more consistent. But, you know, any of the other holidays, 4th of July, Memorial Day, it's very difficult.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call, Daniel. Appreciate it. And you can go back and look up statistics and all that stuff, but I'm just telling you, I don't think they're valid. It just is almost impossible. Impossible. Opening your child's first bank account. Now, I remember when I was little, my mom took me down to the bank when I had a couple dollars, you know, from either taking back Coke bottles or, you know, whatever it was. We didn't have a lot of money. But I remember her taking me to the bank and opening up my first account and have a little savings account book, and I was all excited and all that stuff. And that's what we're talking about. How to get your children excited about opening an account and saving money. And then maybe what you need to do is maybe if they get allowance or whatever, and you can tell them, okay, you can try to teach them, well, there's a savings part and a spending part when you get money. Okay, it's always a savings part and a spending part. So what you're trying to do is get them used to the idea young. And then you can get them used to the idea of saving for something. They want some kind of toy. I don't care, whatever it is. But give them a goal to save for that toy. Do you see, you know how valuable that would be? Instead of, you know, mom and dad pays for everything and they just whine and you buy it for them. Why don't you give them allowance and teach them some lessons? Teaching a lasting lesson about your money and their children and their money. That's what you're after. Now, do you have suggestions on the topic? I mean, I don't have any children, so I've never had this problem. But I know I have 39 nieces and nephews, about 46, including my grandnieces and nephews now. So, we're on InvestTalk. What's on your mind today? Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you'd like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. Invest Talk continues on this Wednesday. Stock index funds are performing well as the bull charges ahead, but can you count on them when the market stumbles? Why you shouldn't put all your money in index funds. That's our talking point for tomorrow's Invest Talk. But Steve is here to take your call today. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him right now.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Ken Escondido. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing well, Steve. How about yourself?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I had a quick question. The stock symbol DK. It's oil refinery.
Right.
I've bought and sold this a couple different times. It's been very good to me. But it always hits this 34. I think it hit 35 this last week, and it has a tendency to roll over.
It does. It's kind of in a range, a trading range.
Yeah.
Kind of in 27 or so, back up to 30. 334, back down to 30, 20. I mean, it's been pretty for almost a year.
Yeah, I bought it last time and sold at the high again, and I bought it again at 24, and I'm wondering, should I unload it again?
To be honest, I think so. I do. Okay, for everybody else, this is called DELEK, D-E-L-E-K, DELEK U.S. Holdings, engaged in petroleum refining in Texas, Arkansas, retail fuel distribution in a bunch of number of states all in the kind of the Midwest and Georgia as well. And anyways, it's going to make it's going to make $2.92 this year. That's up from $2.14 from last year. But next year it's going to only make $2.83. So there is not, you know, its growth has slowed down. So this is why I'm thinking
right.
That it might go back down, Ken, because the sales growth, even though the most recent quarter is up 9%, the quarter before that was down 17%. A year ago is much more consistent, a 4 to 10% growth of sales per quarter. And earnings are just not keeping up. I mean, it's going to be down next year, only down 3%. I mean, the 283, that's not a lot, but that's enough to tell me that maybe it's going to roll down back down again.
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering if I should just go ahead and unload it and buy it when it gets cheap again.
I think you should. I mean, it's been pretty consistent. It's not, it's a $2 billion company. It's a good, solid little company, but it has nothing in it that says this is going to just continue to grow. We don't know that.
Right.
You know, if oil prices fall, you know, if it's a refiner, falling oil prices kind of helps it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would just do it. It's been pretty consistent. Sell it here, buy it back.
Thanks again, Steve.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. That was DK, everybody. DELEK U.S. Holdings. And, you know, it's a good little company. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that I don't see any catalyst for growth. Especially we have, there's just no reason for it that I see from this little brief look at it to drive that to, it's going to go to $50 a share. I don't see that. I don't see why it would. You know, it's going to make $2.83 next year. If it's a 20 PE, what's that going to give me, 54? Why would it get a 20 PE when its sales are not strong? So maybe it deserves a normal market PE. Well, that's 15. Okay, that's 33. Well, that's where it is. See, I just don't see it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, who is Sam Eisenstadt? He is retired. He used to be the research director at ValueLine. And he did that for decades, forever. And he came up and used the R-square, and I won't go into what R-square is. I won't go into it. Anyway, he has a proprietary formula that he quotes, and he continues to use it. And it's a six-month prediction of where the stock market's going to go. Now, I wouldn't even bring this up if he wasn't very good. Been pretty consistent about this six-month prediction. And the 6 months up to now, he was almost dead on from the first 6 months of the year. to the last 6 months. It's been, so now he's predicting within the 6 months, the market, S&P 500, is going to go up 8% at 2150. It's right now at 2000. That's what he says. That's his. Now, his most important input in his model or formula or whatever you want to call it is interest rates. So that's what's most important to him, and he feels interest rates are going to stay very low, the Fed's not going to go do anything, and therefore that part of his formula is going to be pretty stable, and that means money will still flow into the market, and it should hold, the S&P should go up. So that's a bullish look at the market for at least the next 6 months. He doesn't try to predict for any further out. That's not what his model does. Just doesn't. Now, what about a bearish look? And I have two experts that are very bearish that we're going to talk about and where they're coming from. What I like about Eisenstadt is very few experts try to predict 6 months down the road. They usually predict a year. Did you see the new U.S. government projection for GDP growth for the year? They're down as well, 1.9% for the year now. Do you remember what it was at the beginning of the year? It's 3.2 or 3.3% GDP growth for the year. The other day they came in 1.7 now. Do you realize that's almost 50% off? 50% off in your original projections. Now, and by the government. This is what I mean by experts are always wrong. Always take all that information with a grain of salt. Always. Anybody trying to predict something, no matter who it's from, take it with a grain of salt. Don't necessarily believe it, because they're wrong often. I have a new meeting day for Northern California. I'm scheduling 1 hour individual retirement account reviews in San Jose on September 17th. That's the 17th of September. If you'd like to schedule an hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment, and we'll work out the details.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the great show.
You're listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley, GM investing $233 million to produce new engines, moving Cadillac XRS production to Tennessee. Catch important news stories of the day. Look for the news feed on investtalk.com. Once again, here's portfolio manager Steve Peasley.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? Let's talk to, who are we talking to, guys? Okay, let's talk to Frank.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the great show. I have a question regarding Chesapeake Energy Corporation, CHK. If you could take a look at that, tell me what your thoughts are on it, if you like it, and when it would be a good time to get in or get out. Just appreciate your opinion in any case. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I kind of like Chesapeake Energy right where it is right now. Chesapeake Energy is CHK, engaged in the exploration and production of natural gas and crude oil properties throughout the United States. It's a $17 billion company. Earnings this year are going to be up 19% above last year. Then next year it's going to be up another 22%. Sales have been slowing, but they're still growing. Sales growth 4 quarters ago was 64%, 3 quarters, 28%. This is sales. 2 quarters ago, 47%. In the most recent quarter, sales grew at 10%. That's a little bit worrisome. Why would it go down? But still grow. And the stock is only selling for $26. So if it makes $2.19 next year, and it's a $26 stock, that's going to drive that PE down to what? 12? You know, that's pretty low. Return on equity is low too, which is a concern, only 7%. Very good cash flow, only pays 1.3. I kind of like it here. It's fallen off its high of about 29.50, 29.75 just in July. Came all the way down to about 25 here in August. And is now at 26.43. So it's trying to recover and is right at the 200-day moving average. Lots of support, and it looks like it's trying to recover. So this would be a buy point in my book. This would be a buy point. Oil has come down. It's like $93, $94 a barrel. So, is it going to stay there? Well, it might even go lower if the economies around the world, especially Europe's, tanks, and now the Chinese are having a property value problem. Property value is falling, but our economy is picking up. And, China's economy is not falling apart yet because of this housing thing. It may not. The Chinese government could do all kinds of things to stem that tide. Remember that, they can dictate things as opposed to being using market forces, even though they're trying to use market forces. I just have a feeling their government just can't keep its hands off and let the market forces work. And don't think that's just because you're a communist country. Look at our government. They don't keep their hands off either. But in China, they're a little bit heavy-handed, as opposed to here, a little less heavy-handed. I know you might say, might disagree with me, but it is. Big banks, big profits if interest rates rise. The big banks, I'm talking about Bank of America, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan. And just so you know, Bank of America was the one with the $17 billion settlement, and Citigroup had a $7 billion settlement, and J.P. Morgan had a $13 billion settlement for all those mortgage issues back in 2007. So the thinking is the big payouts is probably behind them, and it's probably true. So remember that Bank of America, $17 billion, that's like a year and a half profit gone. Okay, but those, and they still have litigation out there. So it's not over with, it's just the big ones. The banks are gearing up and building models to show a 100 basis point increase in the Federal Reserve's rate. Remember, it's up 0 to 0.25 now. And they think it might go to 1% or so. And they're thinking later in 2015, this is when. And they've done a test to see what that would do to their bottom line, and it's all positive for them. They're going to make more money, not less. They get a better spread. In other words, their cost of funds might go up, but they'll be able to pass that through. And yes, they're taking consideration a slowdown in business maybe because of this, but they're not anticipating that much of a slowdown. Because remember, the Fed wouldn't raise the rates unless the economy is doing pretty good. So most of them will see a 1% gain in 2015. That means the Fed will raise rates. They usually do it in 0.25% increments, 0.25, then again, 0.25 again, then 0.25. So maybe three times next year, maybe four, going up to 1%. They could do a 0.5. That's possible if the economy really takes off. The bottom line, bank profits are going to go up. Now, as an investor, what do you do about that? Should you start thinking about them? And remember, I have not invested in big banks for years. But now I'm thinking that maybe much of these lawsuits, the big payouts, maybe some of these banks that finally getting out from under that cloud. There's still the Dodd-Graham Act that's not fully implemented, so we're not sure how much profits that they're going to make depending on that. But I don't know. I'm just thinking about maybe it's time to look at them. Maybe. Many investors these days are starved for yield. We're going to talk about InvestTalk 101, starving for yield. InvestTalk 101. And so these investors have been looking for companies to add to their portfolio that pay high dividends, a hefty dividend yield. But I don't want you to get blinded by a hefty current payout and then overlook some of the more important factors about yield. And the most important feature about any company's fundamental profile is their growth rate. If they don't grow, how can they grow their dividend? So it's a lack of the growth rate that plagues a lot of high dividend stocks. They pay high dividends, but if they're not growing their sales and growing their earnings, how can they afford it over a long period of time? Remember, you're buying dividend payers over a long period of time. You want them to be paid over a long period of time to increase their yield over long periods of time. I'm talking years, not 6 months, years. So you really rather have a 3.5% dividend payer with double-digit growth than a 5.5% payer with no growth. Much prefer to have that 3.5% double-digit growth because they can increase their payout. They can increase that from 3.5 to 3.7, then to 4, then to 4.2. That person with no growth, a 5.5 yield, that's not going to go any higher. If they do, then that means their payout ratio goes up. That means they're taking money away from investing in their business, and they can't grow their sales, and you start a downward spiral that may take years, but it will happen. A growing company will eventually raise their dividend. You don't have to have 10%, 20% growth, just growth. Growth. You need some growth. And that's InvestTalk 101. If you have a question on this topic or any other money matter, call us now at 888-99-CHART or send me a note. Just click on the Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, my name is Jerry, calling from Sunnyvale. I listen to you on the radio while I'm at work all day. And I had a question regarding Suncor. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Symbol SU. Thank you.
Suncor Energy Inc. out of Calgary, Canada. Canadian company engaged in oil and gas exploration, refining, and marketing of oil sands and natural gas in Canada. It's a $60 billion company, so it's not small. Now, one thing you got to think about when we talk about oil sands and they're extracting oil from oil sands, that's a pretty expensive process. So oil prices have to stay fairly high to make a profit. Now, in the 90s, dollars a barrel, it stays pretty profitable. But I think it costs like $70 to $80 a barrel for oil sands. It's pretty expensive. Pretty expensive to extract that oil from sand. So just bear that in mind. They are growing their sales 5 to 10% per quarter, the last 4 to 8 quarters. That's what they're growing. And the growth has actually picked up a little bit, not tremendously, a little bit on sales. Profits have been pretty steady, $3.01 this year, but they made $3.13 last year per share. Next year, they're going to make $3.14. So that's pretty steady, not much growth there. PE, therefore, the PE is 12. Remember, stocks that don't grow don't get a high PE. They just don't. They don't deserve it. So do you want to buy this stock? Well, it's risen from $32 now to $40 in the last 6 months or so. It was as high as 43, then fell down to 38. Now it's trying to make a recovery back to that high area. So I don't see it pays a 2.1% dividend. I don't see any compelling reason to buy the stock. I mean, if you're just going to buy it for the dividend, 2.1, you could probably find better payouts than that in different oil companies. Are you buying it for growth? Well, the sales growth is picking up, but you better keep an eye on that oil price. If the oil prices don't stay high, that's going to hurt their margins, and the margins are going to get squeezed. They do not have a lot of debt, which is good. 18% of it is owned by managers, which is very good. Mutual funds have been steady owners. They're not really buying. They're not really selling for the last year. And it looks like in 2014, they're going to lower their capital expenditures down to $6.8 billion. In other words, they're going to reduce the amount of money they're putting into the company to find or develop more properties. They're still going to spend a lot of money, $6.8 billion, but that's being reduced to that number. Okay? SU, Suncor Energy. Suncor Energy. I like Chesapeake, the caller earlier, Chesapeake. I like that one better, CHK. But that's a refinery. This one is not. This is an oil and gas and exploration and refinery. So there's a difference. There's a major difference. Think about what a refinery does. Its input product is oil, the raw stuff. So that's a cost to them. In an integrated company like Suncor, they get the input cost for oil that they find. So that, and then the cost to their refining operation is how much it costs to get that out of the ground. Integrated oil is different. They make their money differently. If it's just a refinery, then you've got to buy your oil from somebody, get it from somebody. So that cost is something you got to think about. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, we talked about San Ezenstadt, who thinks the S&P is going to go to 2150, or up 8% within the next 6 months. And he was a research director of Value Line for decades, and he has a proprietary system he uses, and he's been very good. Now, two other experts are calling for up to a 60% correction, 6-0. That's not a correction. That's a bull bear market. And they base this on a lack of confidence of central banks internationally, not just our central bank, but Europe and China and everywhere. They're saying that if we get this kind of correction, one David Tice says it's going to be between 30 and 60%, and he's CEO of Tice Capital. But remember what he does. He managed Prudent Bear Fund. So he's kind of, we want the market to go down, so he has a bias to that downward spike. Another lady, Abigail Doolittle. Okay, and Abigail Doolittle is the research director for Peak Thorson Research. She says it's going to go down between 50 and 60%. She sees a crash similar to 2007. And she sees it be based on technical analysis. She's looking at a 20-year chart. She says it's hitting resistance, and it's obvious in the Russell 2000 chart. And she refers to the QE1, QE2, and then now the QE3. When they start cutting back those QEs, the market is now in a range, long-term range, that is showing stuttering. And usually that's followed by a fall. That's what she says. Now, these two guys are neither one of these two people say when. There's no indication of when. Their indication of when is when there is a lack of faith in central banks, international central banks around the world. Well, what if that doesn't happen for 5 years? You see, so, or it can happen tomorrow. Yeah, one of them mentioned, a black swan event that could do it and happen anytime. You see, so, again, Eisenstadt was much better in saying, okay, within the next 6 months, the market's going to go up 8%. He was a little bit more specific, which is hard to get. And the reason why it's hard to get, because people don't want to be specific, because they don't want to be wrong. So that's why they're not specific. So just take all this with a grain of salt. Okay, is the market overvalued? Yeah, but not terribly overvalued on many, many fundamental analysis. It's not terribly overvalued. On a couple of them, it is, like the Shiller PE. It's at 26. But it got up to 40 in the dot-com era before the market collapsed. But that was pretty unusual because all those dot-coms had made no money. None of them made money. So that's why it got so high. But if you take that one out and then look at a Shiller PE over time, 26 is right at the high. Pretty high. But on a regular PE basis, forward-looking PE basis for next year, you're looking at maybe what? 16, 17, 18, and the average is what, 15? Now it's time to get through to you. If you have a question, you can get through right now, today. Call us at right now. Get in on the final segment of the show at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next InvestTalk, stock index funds are performing well as the bull charges ahead, but can you count on them when the market stumbles? Why you shouldn't put all your money in index funds? That's our talking point for Thursday, August 28th, and we hope you'll be able to listen to that podcast. And be sure to try our new free risk analysis tool. It's there for you on InvestTalk.com.
This is InvestTalk, direct access to a professional money manager, a registered investment advisor. Ask your question. Talk to Steve about any money matter as we move into the final segment of the day. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
888-992-4278. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. If you'd like to join them, you can subscribe for free at iTunes. Okay? We just counted our 3 millionth download. That's pretty good. I'm pretty proud of that. We thank you for subscribing, everybody. If you have a question for us, you can always ask at 888-99-CHART.
This is Eric. I'm calling from Walnut Creek, and I listen to you guys usually on podcasts. And my question is regarding a company called Tall International. The symbol is TAL. Now, this is something I purchased back in November, and I had a pretty nice gain in the stock. I bought it in the low 30s. But I mainly bought it for the dividend. And right now I'm trying to decide, should I sell it to take my profits, or should I continue to hold on this stock for the dividend? I'll listen for your answer later on. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, Tall, T-A-L, Tall International, okay, it is on the New York Stock Exchange. I'm looking at the various reports on it right now. It closed today at $45.85. It's been as low as about 42, almost since February on, and then goes between 42 and about 46 or so. Every month, up, down, up and down, up and down. 1 month up, 1 month down. All those months from February to now. So we're talking about last 6 months. So it's in a trading range. Now the market cap is at $1.5 billion. It is a PE of 12, so it's fairly low. It's going to make $3.79. Has a deficit dividend yield of 6.28. So my question is, if you bought it for the dividend, then you hold on to it. You don't care what the trading range or what it's going to do. You just buy it and hold it because it's paying that dividend. Now, can it continue to pay that dividend? The answer is based on the earnings. It looks like it's doable. And Tall International Group, everybody, engages in the leasing of intermodal freight containers and chassis. Okay, so trains. Its operations include acquisition, leasing, releasing, and subsequent sale of multiple types of containers and chassis. It could do it for trucking equipment. It could do it for freight on trains. So that kind of thing. It's doing very well. There's nothing wrong with that company. If you bought it for the dividend, you hold it. If you bought it as a trade, then this is the area that you sell it because it's gone here a couple of times and then fallen in the last 6 months. So this is where you would sell it. Then you buy it back a little bit around $42. Then you sell it again at around $45, $46. But if you bought it for the dividend, just hold it, put it in a drawer, ignore it. Their margins are pretty good at 54. Their operating margin is 32. These are really good margins. Return to assets is a little low, but return to equity is 21. Kind of like that. So it's got some good numbers. It's Tall, T-A-L, Tall International Group, Inc. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what is on everybody's mind? What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Have you seen some of the economic numbers out this week? I always look at them. I am an economic numbers kind of guy. I don't base my life on them, but I do like to know what's going on in the economy. I think it's important. For instance, on Monday, we had new home sales. They came in at 412,000. Well, they were expecting 430. The month before, it was 422. And this is for July. 412 was low. But the durable goods report was very high at 22.6% growth. They expected it to be 12%. Last month, it was only 2.7. So you would look at it and say, great. However, capital core, if you take out airplanes and autos, was down 0.5%. Last month, it was up 5.4%. This one is down 5%. Those are the kind of numbers I'd like to see, you know, as to what's going on. It tells you what's going on. You can bring us a variety of questions about how much time we have. Oh, I thought we had a little bit more. Real quick then, The consumer confidence numbers were up this week for August. 92 was 88. I mean, that's what they expected. Last month it was 92, too. So it kind of stayed the same. That's not bad. Housing prices were a little bit weak. Hours up, everybody. You heard me mention our new InvestTalk Risk Analyzer. You can use it for free on InvestTalk.com. It will help you learn your true tolerance for investment risk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we'll help you join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.